So the epistle for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3. Dearly beloved, be ye of all one mind, having compassion one of another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this you are called, that you may inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him decline from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers, but the countenance of the Lord upon them that do evil things. And who is he that can hurt you if you be zealous of good? But if also you suffer anything for justice' sake, blessed are ye. And be not afraid of their fear, and be not troubled, but sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 5. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to them of old, 'Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire. If therefore thou bring thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then coming thou shalt offer thy gift." Please be seated. Guard thy tongue, guard thy soul, thoughtless speech may bring ruin. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the divine office that the religious pray, and then also in the Mass, you can say there is a certain unity that is grouped around the idea of fraternal charity. The charity that we have toward those that are around us, as we would toward our brother. And so we see that the gospel warns us against the grave sin of murder, but it also warns us against, you know, the sins of the tongue and sins against charity. And so it even goes on to say that if we are trying to make an offering, if we offer something before the altar, that if we have our brother or a neighbor or whomever has something against us, to leave the offering at the altar and to go and to make amends with that person. Because why is that? Well, we can say that if we're trying to offer something to Almighty God, but yet we are upset or we have some anger toward a family member, a friend, an acquaintance, God will not be pleased with what we're trying to offer because, well, we're leaving out that part of forgiving, say, someone did something against us or not having the proper charity. And so therefore is the encouragement to leave then our offering so that therefore we can make amends for that and to come back and to offer it back to God. And so there is that encouragement for us to see of how important that is. And that foundation is based on the love of God. The love of our neighbor is founded on this true love of God. And that is something that we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ with the two great commandments, to love God above all things, but then to love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. And so we see that idea, that sense of that if we say that we truly love God, but we don't have a love of our neighbor, even in a general way, that love of God that we have is not true. It is not complete. And so for one of the things that we must try to understand with our neighbor, we must always try to see the image of God in them. Every soul is created in the image of God. And granted, maybe we have our difficulties with other souls. Sometimes we have a hard time even imagining that they were created in the image of God. But it is true that God has created every soul in his image. And so therefore, for us to understand that, to try to put that into practice as a gentle reminder to us. Yes, when we see the weaknesses and the faults of other souls, we need to then recognize that they were created in the image of God. And therefore, maybe it takes to pray for them, to overlook their weaknesses, their faults. I mean, truly, just as we would want someone to overlook our faults and weaknesses too. We certainly wouldn't want someone pointing out the weaknesses and faults that we have, pointing it out to other people around us. And so we would want for them to cut us some slack. And so therefore, we must try to do the same thing for souls around us. And I think it is important for us to realize that is how we will grow in the spiritual life, because these two great commandments that God gives to us, it is a summing up of the spiritual life. And that summing up of the spiritual life is contained in the two commandments. We cannot just pass it off into saying, okay, well, we love God above all things, and that's it. If we truly love God above all things, it would also spill over into our attitude toward other people, of how we treat other people, or at least whether we pray for them. And that is what then our Lord is trying to get across to us in the gospel account, of talking about this idea, if you say certain things, well, then you're in danger of judgment. I mean, granted to us, maybe when we look at it and it says, thou fool, we wonder, you know, how can that be in danger of judgment? I still always remember growing up, and then after reading this in sacred scripture, I was thinking to myself, it's like, I used to call my brothers fools all the time. It's like, now what? But when we look at it, it is something more severe than that. It is a contempt or a hatred for that other person. And so when our Lord is mentioning these things, this idea of Raca, or this idea of thou fool, that you are in danger of judgment, because there is then a hatred for another soul or a contempt for them, that therefore, yes, you would not want to do anything good for them, or you would not want to pray for them. And I think that is one of the telling signs for us. Yes, we can have people that we have a harder time in dealing with. If we cannot even pray for them, you know, to pray for graces for their soul, we have to be careful of that. I mean, yes, because of personalities, because of the way that we are in different things, we're not going to get along with everyone perfectly. But if we cannot even try to pray for other souls, or to realize, okay, I see the image of God in them, I will try to treat them better. If we can't even do that, well, then that is something that we have to try to consider, and that is truly what the Epistle and the Gospel, and as I say, the liturgy of today, is trying to help us to understand. Because at the very beginning, when I mentioned to you the quote from Proverbs, you know, it says, guard thy tongue, guard thy soul, thoughtless speech may bring ruin. Thoughtless speech. We're not thinking about maybe even how we treat other people or what we say about them. How easy it is for us to fall into sins of the tongue. St. James had said in his epistle, show me a person that has not sinned by the tongue, and I will show you a perfect man. Does that excuse then us being thoughtless in our speech? No. But it shows how hard it is for us. How hard it is for us to watch our tongue. To not allow ourselves those opportunities to speak against people, to talk about them, to bring out their faults. And so that's what I say when Proverbs, when we see in today's Mass, this idea of charity, this sense of fraternal charity, it is something that is very important for us. Important for us to understand, but also important for us to put into practice. Because as I say, if we think that we're a friend of Almighty God's, but we have no charity toward our neighbor, we are not a friend. At the very least, it is something that we must try to work on in our lives. We must try to put it into practice. We may struggle with it, yes, but at least if God sees the effort that we are trying to make. And it can be something as simple as, okay, maybe we make the mistake and we talk about something, but we realize right afterward, you know, I should not have said that. Or we try to rectify that if we talk about someone. You may have heard of the famous example of speaking against people. I've heard different saints of who was the confessor at the time. I've heard St. John Vianney. I've heard St. Francis de Sales. But a penitent went and said that they spoke against another person. You know, they basically took away their good name. And so he said, as your penance, take a feather pillow, open it up in the wind, and then go back and collect all the feathers. And so obviously the penitent is sitting going, I don't think I can do that. And he said, well, why not? And that's impossible to try to collect all of the feathers because the wind will take them who knows where. And so then the confessor said, well, that's kind of what you do when you take away someone's good name. You will never be able to really truly bring it back. Which it hits home for us to understand how simple it is to take away someone's name, but then how hard it is to ever try to bring that back. Because once that you've said something against a person, other people that hear it, well, they'll remember that. Even if you try to come back and said, you know what, I was wrong, you know, I should not have said that. They will still be, in a way, tainted by what you have said. They still will remember that. And so that is, I would say, a true sign of spiritual growth. The ability to try to work on that. The ability to try to recognize maybe when we have offended charity in that way. As I say, how easy it is to fall into sins of the tongue. And so we need to try to examine that. We need to try to examine it in our own lives. Have we failed against that? Have we spoken against people? Maybe because we don't really like them and so we throw our jabs into other people about them. And so as I say, yes, very clearly, we will not be able to get along with just everyone. There'll be people that maybe we get along with better, fine. But it doesn't mean that we cannot have a patience and a charity toward all souls because they were created in the image of God. It is something that we have to try to strive for. In the epistle, St. Peter says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they will not speak guile. The encouragement from St. Peter telling us, try to watch what you say. But yet he realizes how easy it is maybe that we can fall into these things. But we've got to work on it. We've got to strive to overcome it. And so that is the thing. We have to try to take these opportunities to meditate and to think about that the church gives to us. As I say, the whole liturgy talks about this idea of fraternal charity. By mentioning and by talking about it, we have to then try to put it into practice. St. Augustine had said, it is difficult to find anyone whose tongue has not been the cause of some sin. It is not without reason. It is closed within the mouth since it falls so frequently. So he's just mentioning about how the tongue will fall so frequently. How easy it is to fall into these sins. There's an excellent it's basically a booklet called Sins of the Tongue. If you read that, it wakes you up into realizing, one, how easy it is to fall into sins of the tongue, but then two, the danger of falling into those sins of the tongue. So I would encourage you, if you struggle with that charity toward other souls, read the book. It's a little green booklet called Sins of the Tongue. And so the more that we can check this, the more that we can try to watch over that, the more progress we will make. Because we will see truly the charity that we have. We will understand the true charity that we have toward souls. And so, yes, the effects of sins of the tongue, we can say they destroy the unity of the mystical body of Christ, because it is based on charity. The mystical body of Christ is truly based on the charity, because charity is the love of God above all things, but is also, yes, the love of our neighbor for the love of God. So it is based on that. And so sins of the tongue, they destroy this. But it's also a tendency that they can make us very prideful, because we see all the weaknesses in everyone else. We probably don't look in a mirror and see our own weaknesses, but it's very clear that we can point out everyone else's faults. Again, that is something that we must try to work on. And we're given the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. One example that we see very clearly is the silence that our Lord made when he was being judged. He did not feel that he had to defend himself. His actions spoke louder than words. And so that silence that he had of not accusing those that were going to kill him, to crucify him, but to even forgive them, you know, what an example that is. And as I mentioned, just trying to remind ourselves that everyone is created in the image of God. But I think also one of the main ways that we can also try to avoid talking about others is to truly pray for the grace of seeing our soul as God sees it, that we will see our own weaknesses and our own faults, and to realize that we have enough to work on with ourselves than having to worry about everyone else. And so these things that we can try to accomplish will show to God the desire that we have in loving him above all things, yes, that we will be trying to follow the two great commandments. And so let us pray for this grace, and let us realize when we look at the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, it is the Sermon on the Mount, and that is the whole basis in the understanding of the Sermon on the Mount. This idea of true charity. And charity is not how the world views it, of just being nice to people. No, it is a love of God above everything, but then also a love of your neighbor for the love of God, that you truly see the image of God in him. And so by doing these things, we will put into practice what our Lord has commanded from us, what he has given to us as a sense and an idea. So as I say, let us pray for these graces, but also meditate. Meditate on how easy it is to fall into sins of the tongue, and how it is a constant battle for us to bridle the tongue, to rein it in, and to practice that idea and that sense of a mortification of our speech, because by doing so, we will not bring ruin to our soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.